Praise the Lord. Well, isn't Jesus wonderful? You know, it's great to be part of a church that the flow of the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God is such an important thing, I think, in all of our lives. But, you know, even the small things you don't even recognize, and we don't necessarily call attention to them a whole lot, but we don't tell the worship team, you know, what songs to sing before they... So every once in a while we might request a song, but it's not very often. But yet they had no idea I was going to talk about the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. And they sang, you know, name above all names, glory to God. And it is. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. I really want to talk tonight about this in relationship to our authority as believers, and how that the name of Jesus is the key to unlock that authority. Not necessarily that it's locked, but the key to activating that authority and acting on that authority in our individual lives. Now, the reason, you know, we talk about these things and is because if we're not careful, we all get, in life, live in life and get complacent and just let things happen, you know, as they've always happened. And we forget that we have to be active every day. Now, how many of you know we have an enemy who's active every day trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God we've been given authority over that, over him. I want to read to you from, and Brother Hagin quotes him in his Name of Jesus book and series, but I want to read from E.W. Kenyon's book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. He said this. He said, several years ago, I was holding meetings in a city in Tennessee. One afternoon, while giving an address on the name of Jesus, a lawyer interrupted me asking, do you mean to say that Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use his name? I said to him, brother, you are a lawyer and I'm a layman. Tell me, did Jesus give us the power of attorney? He said, if language means anything, then Jesus gave the church the power of attorney. Then I asked him, what is the value of this power of attorney? He answered, it depends on how much there is back of it, how much authority, how much power this name represents. Mr. Kenyon said, then I began to search and find how much power and authority Jesus has. Hallelujah. How much the power of attorney, the right to act in a name. I know that when we moved here from Kentucky in 2000, we had a house there, and because of the time that it took, you know, had a contract and it fell through and then another. But by the time it came to where we were, the house was for sale and ready for closing, we were here, couldn't get away to go back there. And so we had a friend in our church there who was a lawyer, and we signed over to him our power of attorney. In other words, he acted on our behalf. And we had to sign certain documents, you know, that gave him the authority to act on our behalf. And so he did that. We weren't there, but the business got taken care of. It was as if we were there. Amen? Now, he only had power to act on our behalf in the areas that we told him. And so that's important. We need to know in the area, what area and what can we act in this authority? What are the limits of that? And that's a whole big study. But tonight I want to look at this use of the name of Jesus and then specifically bring it down to the use of the name of Jesus in prayer. We've been given authority to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen? But, you know, there's several things I want to look at. Let's start in, I didn't know exactly where I was going until I was actually in the back there. I mean, fully. I gave our media team up there, I gave them three scriptures, and I think we called up and added six or so and didn't know what order. But let's go to Matthew 28. I told them, just be ready. I'll give you time to turn to them. But Matthew chapter 28, let's start here. Matthew chapter 28. And this is a kind of familiar set of scriptures for us here, you know, around Rhema. We've read these before, but let's read in verse, starting with verse number 18. I'm reading from the King James Bible, and I might take these and thous out, okay, and a few ye's out and make it you. But here in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, King James says. When you look that word up, now I'm not a Greek scholar, but literally, and most other translations translate it this way, it's the word for authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19 then, go ye, or you go therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I have been given all authority. Where? In heaven and where? In earth. All authority has been given unto me. He says, now you go. So he's commissioning us to go in that authority. I have been given the authority. Now I'm sending you forth to go and to do it. Now we know from Mark 16, turn over to Mark 16. Mark's account of this gives us a little bit more detail. Jesus said here, you know, in Matthew, as Matthew records, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to, he went on to say, to teach them to observe all I've commanded you. The things that he told the disciples. To do those things. You know, sometimes it's interesting. I hear people, they want to sound smart, and the more they try to sound smart, the more unbiblical they get. I didn't call your name. Don't look around at it. Don't look so sad. But people say, well, now what Jesus said doesn't apply to us today. That was just for the Jews because the new covenant hadn't begun yet. Well, let's take a few verses out. Nothing's impossible with God? Take that out because that just applies to the Jews. How about Mark 11, 23 and 24? Let's take that out because that just applies to the Jews. See, don't. But he said, teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. Well, if I'm supposed to observe those things that he did, then that means it does apply to me. Like what? What did he tell him to do? Preach the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Amen? Oh, you really mean we can? Oh, absolutely. How? In that name. Glory to God. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into all the world. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And he goes on to talk about a few things there, including casting out devils and dealing with the things of the devil and then also healing the sick. But he says, in my name, Jesus is the name that unlocks all that he did for us. And he has given us the authority to use that key, his name. Now, authority is the legal right to rule and to command. And it gives us the legal right to exercise power, to speak, and to be obeyed. Now, let's go to John chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. We have the right to use this name. Now, sometimes, you know, and I say, we become familiar with certain things, and really, we live off the memory of it rather than the fresh revelation of what we're doing. And we need to have a constant freshness to the use of the name of Jesus. It's not just, how many of you are old enough to remember CB radios, right? And everybody had, you know, you had a handle, you know, you had a name that you went, well, you didn't want to use your real name because that was uncool, all right? But then when you signed off, what did you say? 10-4, right? Look, using the name of Jesus in prayer is not like signing off of a radio car. It's not like 10-4, you know, hey, God, Jesus' name, 10-4, good buddy, I'll see you, you know. No, when we use the name of Jesus, we are conducting kingdom business. Whether it's in our life or life of someone else, that name of Jesus, we are acting legally. Now, how do we know if we're acting legally? Well, is what we're doing in line with the Word of God? We'll might mention that a little bit. But we're acting as if Jesus was there, because that name will do what he would do if he was standing there. That's why he gave us his name. All right? Now, here in John 16, we'll start in verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. He's talking about that day when he's resurrected. He's been talking about these things to them. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, that whatsoever, might want to make note of that. I'm going to come back to that. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, what name's that? Jesus. He will give it to you. Hitherto, or up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. And he goes on to say, because the Father loves you, you can pray to him yourself. But he said, in my name, whatever you ask the Father, he will do. Whatever, whatsoever you ask. Now you hear people say, well, now what if I'm asking for something wrong? Well, get saved then. You want something wrong? No. That's a little simplified, but see, Brother Hagin told us over and over again, go to the Word of God. Find out what God's Word says about your situation. And then pray based on that. Right? Okay? So, you know, whatsoever you ask, obviously in line with God's will, he will do it. He didn't say he might. He didn't say he could. He didn't say if you pray long enough. He didn't say if you've read your Bible long enough. He didn't say if you've given enough. He didn't qualify it at all. He just said, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father, he will do it. Now that sounds a whole lot like Mark chapter 11, doesn't it? Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Whatsoever, he said. Whatsoever. Now, I realize there's sometimes we don't necessarily have a specific statement on something, but you can have a general statement. And usually if there's not a specific, God doesn't really care. Amen. You know, seriously, if you want a gray car, a red car, a blue car, a white car, you think God really cares? Well, he cares about you and he cares, but it's whatsoever you desire in that case. All right? But he did say, if you need a car, he'll do what? He'll meet all of your needs. So I know that. God, I need a car. So in Jesus' name, I thank you. And then tell him what, thank him for whatever, believe for everyone you want. Amen. Now look here at Mark chapter 11. I'm going to skip to verse 24. Not that 23 isn't good, but tonight we're talking about prayer. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now here, instead of whatsoever you ask, he says, whatsoever things you desire. See, the thing, whatsoever that you're asking is the same thing that you desire, right? Now, what are we to do? When we pray, we're supposed to believe that we receive it. Right? When we pray. Why, how can we have such confidence? Well, because of two things. We know God's will, and we know the power and authority behind the name of Jesus. It's in that name. In that name. In that name. In that, using that name in prayer is like knowing how to use your debit card or signing your signature to get money out of your bank account. It's already there. You've just got to do it the right. See, it's already been provided for us by God. We have to use the name to access it. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 11 for just a moment. It's because you tie this. I know I was talking to some fellow ministers a few years back, and we were talking about the message of faith and how that, you know, and teaching it, especially we're talking about around the world, how that we do it in the schools and try to, you know, and try to convey that, not because that's the mandate, to teach that message of faith and the move of the Spirit along with it, to usher in a great revival in this last days, to help usher in this great revival. But one of the keys to understanding how to operate in faith is you have to know you have authority. The believer's authority, it seems as if that's the teaching of the believer's authority lays at the foundation of faith, because why would you believe you could speak to the mountain if you didn't know you had authority to speak to the mountain? Okay, in that aspect. Well, here again, why would I pray if I didn't know I had the authority to use that name which guarantees the result? All right? Now, Hebrews 11:6. says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, John 16 said, whatsoever you ask. Mark 11 said, what things soever you desire. Here it talks, the same thing is said here, but it's whatever you believe God is. You must believe that God is what? That God is what you're asking him for. And see? That God is that. So I'm not going to just come to God. Now, I can pray a prayer of consecration to God. You know, I don't know. You know, you might know, Lord, it's your will that I, you know, that I, you know, and around here, so many of you have come to the school and that and that and that, and there's transitions that take. You can pray, Lord, I consecrate myself. If you want me to stay here till Jesus comes back, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do it in Jesus' name. Right? Or you can pray, Lord, if you want to send me, see, you're consecrating yourself. You don't necessarily know what you're going to be doing 10 years from now. You might have a glimpse of it, but you don't necessarily know. You know what I'm saying? So you can pray God's whatever your will. But you don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, heal my body. If it's your will, meet my need. You don't have to pray that because that's already been taken care of. We're already told in the Word of God. And really, listen, it's not a promise of healing. It has already been done. The Old Testament was a promise. In the New Covenant, we have the reality. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Not gonna be, we were healed. And if we were, we are. And so when I go to God, you know, if you just plugging it in there to Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire, well, I desire a well body. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name. I receive a well body right now in Jesus' name. Well, when are you going to have it? You already have it. You're not going to have it. You already have it. See, faith, but you understand, you hear, I don't know if you should be able to hear. Your spirit should be able to hear that and hear it with these ears, the authority that's in that. When you start talking like that, when you start praying like that, the authority is at the base of it. There's an authority. Amen. And that we are to walk in. Now, we're not going in to God. You know, God told us to come boldly to his throne, didn't he? Hebrews 4:16. He didn't say, that doesn't mean come arrogantly. And it's not like we're holding God hostage, you know. Well, I've got your word and I've got the name. No, not like we're holding, you know, like we're making. It's not that we're not demanding anything of God. But this is the way God said that it happens. We're just obeying God. Because we do have an enemy that doesn't want you to have your healing. Right? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have to operate in authority over him. And we have that authority, and we have that authority through prayer. Now, why is that name? Why is the name of Jesus? Why is it filled, and why does it have such authority? Well, first of all, because of the power that is behind it, and it is the resurrection power of God that is behind that name. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. It works for us as we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now here in Ephesians chapter 1, it's hard just to jump into one part of this prayer. So as you're reading and studying, you ought to just go back to Ephesians 1:1 and read it all the way through. But Paul's praying this prayer here, told them that he ceases not to give thanks for them, making mention of them in the prayers. Now, this is you can pray this prayer for any Christian. You can pray this prayer for yourself. Let's pick up in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, who's you? That's us, right? Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here's the part we want to bring out tonight. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or which he demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, in seating Jesus, you know, we kind of, well, let's read this. In seating him, where did that place Jesus? Far above all principality and authority. The word power there in the King James is literally the word, again, for authority. And might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, he just told us here, excuse me, that when God raised Jesus from the dead and set him in his own right hand, that put Jesus in a position of authority. And not only that, but it put him above every other name that's named. So Jesus' name is above every other name that is named. All right? Notice he says that not only in this world, but in it, that which is to come. And has put all things, everybody say all things. All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Well, there's you and I, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Excuse me. Now, your body operates in itself, the head's in the authority of your body, but you're together, the body has the same authority the head has. Amen. Your head just didn't roll in here tonight. Thank God. Your head, you came in here, right? I mean, there's this J. I mean, that's J. It doesn't matter, you know, what's his left hand called, J? What's his left foot, J? What's his head called, J? It's J. Well, Jesus is the head, we're the body. And so the authority operates not only through the head, but in the body also. Now, what did he say that power is? That resurrection power. That's the power that's behind. Remember, the authority is only as good as the power that's behind it. Whoo, we got the power. I can hear Vern, we got the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, and so that resurrection power. Now we know that when he raised Jesus, he raised us, those who are in Christ. When he raised us and set Jesus, he set us at the right hand of God also. We're there in that position of authority. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. So when he raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus, something was done concerning the name of Jesus. Statements were made by God concerning that name. Excuse me. And it was after he was raised up. Now, because he operated in the earth under the authority of the Father, people were casting out devils in his name. The disciples cast out devils in his name. Okay? But that was because he operated under the authority of the Father. But now his name, look here, Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about Jesus and concerning God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So he purged our sins, and now he's raised up, and he's seated at the right hand of God, right? We just read that in Ephesians 1, that's what happened. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus' name by inheritance. Well, who's Jesus going to inherit anything from? The Father God. By inheritance, his name is more excellent. His name, the name Jesus, is greater than any angelic being's name. His name, Jesus, this Jesus who is the Son of God, his name is greater than anybody, any name that you could name, you see. A more excellent. By inheritance, he has obtained a more excellent name. And that took place when he was raised up. For verse 5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6, he talked about him being the first begotten again. It wasn't when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was when God raised him up that he gave him this name. It's because, and again, it's because of that resurrection power. Jesus is raised, and when he was raised, he inherited a more excellent name. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2. That name. And we've been given the right, the power of attorney to use and to act in that name. The most excellent name that there is. Glory to God. Later on there in Hebrews 1, we didn't read it, but you realize that's it looks like it's the statements that are made in a covenant ceremony. Because Jesus, God talks about Jesus, your throne, and he tells him, your throne, O God. There was an exchange that took place there. That whatever Jesus would say, whatever Jesus' name would do, God would back it up. Hallelujah. Now Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, what is that name that's given? Jesus. It is the name. Now notice, it is above what? Every name. Well, we read that in Ephesians 1, right? He said that. And it's a more excellent name. We read it in Hebrews chapter 1. His name, the name of Jesus, is above every name. It's greater than your name. It's greater than any disease's name. It's greater than any sickness's name. It's greater than the name poverty. It's greater than the name poor. It's greater than the name whatever you can think of. That name is greater. Greater. Hallelujah. That's why I'm convinced Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. The weapons, we don't fight with natural, we fight with the name of Jesus. That's our weapon, that name. And we can use it in prayer to the Father. Now there's other applications, but tonight I just want to talk about, so when we pray, we pray in the name of Jesus. Go back to John chapter 16. Let's notice this here. We don't pray for Jesus' sake. He doesn't need healed. Right? We pray in his name. We do exactly as he said, in his name. Verse 23, the latter half there. Whatsoever you shall ask in the Father. So who do we pray to? The Father. Did you notice in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, Paul prayed unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. That's who he directed his prayer to. Jesus didn't say, pray to me. He said, pray to the Father. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I was reading here just recently in one of the books I've been reading and studying along these lines. Right now in this term, I'm teaching the class Believer's Authority in the school, and I've been reading and studying as you do as things. But there was an account given of Smith Wigglesworth, who was a man from England who was a plumber by trade. And his wife got turned on to God throughout the Salvation Army and William Booth's ministry. And Wigglesworth kind of fell in, if you know what I mean. He was kind of against it. He knew just enough Bible to be, you know, to be dangerous. He knew the scripture said the man's the head of the house and all this, you know. He told her, he didn't like her. She was going down to church meetings and he didn't like it. He said, I'm the head of the house. He said, yes, you are, but in this house, but you're not my Lord. And I'm going to go worship my Lord. He said, well, if you go, I'm going to lock you out. Well, you know, and I don't know if you know or not, but there in England, London, it can get cold, you know, at times. So she went to the meeting. Sure enough, he locked the door. Now, why she didn't have a key, I don't know, but she didn't. And so he wakes up the next morning and she's not around. You know, he doesn't see it. He goes and opens up the door and she falls in. You know, she leaned up against the door, huddled up there best she could, slept the night, huddled up. Falls in the door. She jumps on her feet, kisses him on the cheek, and says, good morning, Smith. What would you like for breakfast? He said, that broke him. That broke him. He couldn't handle that pure love of God, something pure love like that without, you know, she didn't yell at him. She didn't get mad at him. Now, she had every right, didn't she? But she didn't, you know, she didn't go into the, she didn't go into the kitchen and get her, you know, cast iron skillet and whap him upside the head. She didn't do that. She just loved him, went and cooked him breakfast. But he was talking about one time he was at a fairly wealthy person's home doing some plumbing, and this was before he ever went in the ministry, ever started preaching. And he said the lady of the house would come in and look at him, and then she'd walk out. He said pretty soon she'd come in, he knows she's standing there staring at him again. Well, they needed some supplies, and he had an assistant. He sent the assistant off, and finally the woman came in, and she shut the door behind her, and, you know, she looked at him, and she said, "I got to ask you a question. What's this light all over you? What's this light all over your face?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'll tell you." He said this morning, he said, "We got our children in the middle of the night. Something happened. They both woke up sick. They both didn't feel well, didn't come down for breakfast, went up to their rooms." He said, "My wife and I joined hands and prayed in the name of Jesus over them, and they were instantly healed. They got up and came down to the breakfast table," and he said, "I'm just so full of joy. I'm just so full of joy." Hallelujah. Well, didn't Jesus say? He said, "You whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Ask," he said, "that your joy may be full." Amen. We ought to be full of joy. Hallelujah. Well, he said because Jesus, that we prayed in the name of Jesus, and God heard our and answered our prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You will ask in his name. Verse 26, "And that day you shall ask in my name." In my name, in that name of Jesus. Now, up until this point, they hadn't prayed in the name of Jesus. They hadn't asked the Father anything. In fact, most of the time they're going to him for things. But he said, this is the day you and I live in this day that we live. Who are we to ask? The Father in what? The name of Jesus. Now, back there in Hebrews 11:6, he said, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, why can we have confidence? Because we know whatsoever we're asking is his will. We believe that he is, and that he is a giver. Notice Jesus said, "He will give it to you." So think of it this way. When we come to God, we come with two things in our hand. We have the promise of God that tells us that, yes, God is this, that he is what we're coming to him for. And secondly, we come with this, that he will reward us, or he will give it to us. That he's not, you know, he's not Jehovah stingy. He's El Shaddai. The God who's more, you know, he's not the great withholder. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "All the promises of God in him are yes and amen." Yes. Glory to God. Well, again, I've got to do my part. I've got to know what the Word of God has to say about it. But you know, I'm convinced, though, that I do it. I'm sure all of us do it. We get complacent. We put up with way too much in our lives. We put up with way too much of the devil in our lives. And so when all we have to do is go to the God in prayer. Amen? To go to God in prayer in the name of Jesus, asking whatsoever and believing that we receive it right then, right now, leaving that place. What happens when we leave that place of prayer? Full of joy. Full of joy. Hallelujah. Jesus said that your joy may be full. Not just a little bit. Full joy. Full joy. Glory to God. Now, what do we know about the joy of the Lord? It's our strength. Hallelujah. Full of strength. Because we have the right to pray in that name. The name that's above every name. Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good place for us to unhook for tonight. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift our voice. Let's thank God for that name. Father, we just thank you for the mighty and precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we have the right. We've been given the right and the privilege to use that name in prayer. That name, because of that name, we have access to your throne. Because of that name, the Word of God works on our behalf. Excuse me. Because of that name, hallelujah, you hear and answer our prayer. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. Jesus is that name. We glorify and magnify that name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you and glorify you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That your name is above every other name. Your name is a key to unlock the authority and unlock the promise of God that belongs to us and the Word of God that already belongs to us. We thank you for that name, that name of Jesus. Oh, that name, that name, that name, that name that no one can stand against. That no power of the enemy, no principality, no power, no might, no dominion, no name can stand against that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No sickness, no disease. In fact, right now in the name of Jesus, every sickness and disease, we take authority over you. You have to go in Jesus' name. Pain that's being caused by you have to go in Jesus' name. Torment of mind, oppression, depression, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In that name, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, I keep hearing this. I keep hearing this. Well, some might ask, how am I going to do it? How can it ever happen? I tell you how it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith, and faith in that name. Just begin to speak that name over every situation in your life. Come to my word, says the Lord. Find what I say, and then take that word and match it with the name of Jesus, and I'll do whatever it is that you ask of me, because you ask me my will to be done in that name. That name, that name, the name that I gave to him that's above every name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus shall cause all of heaven to go into operation on your behalf. The name of Jesus shall send forth the mighty angels to cause things to work in your behalf. The name of Jesus takes authority and has authority over every evil that the devil would try to do to you. That name, that name, that name, that name you can use in prayer. That name to go forth, not only for yourself, but that name to set the captive free. That name to bring deliverance and preach deliverance. In that name to heal the sick. That name to cast out devils. That name to handle all the power of the enemy. That name, the name of Jesus. Oh, it's in that name. It's in that name. It's in that name. Now, this is me now. It's in that name. It's in that name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's in that name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. That name, that name. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we just call, just begin to call that Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, mighty Jesus, magnificent Jesus, glory to Jesus' name, glory to the name of Jesus, glory to that name. We magnify and exalt that name, that name. May that name, Jesus, be exalted above every situation in my life. Jesus, be exalted. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That name, that name, that name, that name, that name of Jesus. Ha ha, oh my, 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 my. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we bless you and magnify you. Glory to God, glory be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we magnify you. You have the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, my, my, my. You start talking about the name, and it just seems like the faith of God just runs up in your mouth, and you just it just comes up out of your heart. That name looses the power of God. I mean, the power of God's on the loose in this place. It's running loose in this place tonight. It's running loose right now, all over your body. The power of God, all inside your body. The power of God, because of the name of Jesus. It's just running loose. Woo! Let it have its way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I keep hearing this. Those of you that are in authority, your heads of households, you need to take that authority. Break the power of the devil. Break the power of the devil over your children. You don't have authority over their wills, but you have power over that spirit, authority over that spirit that's trying to hinder them. Break the power of the devil in their life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 I remember hearing Brother Hagin talking about he was praying, kept praying and fasting, praying and fasting, praying and fasting for his brother's salvation. Finally, the Lord said, well, you pray today. Don't you know it's already my will to save him? Claim his salvation in the name of Jesus. Just claim it. Then when 10 days, I believe it was 10 days, wasn't it, Chris? Brother Doug got saved within 10 days. 10 days. I mean, just claim it. Been fasting and praying and fasting and praying for days and months and years for it. And within 10 days, just by using that name, I claim. He said, I break your power, Satan, over his life. I claim his salvation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I think all of us might have family members in that same situation. We can use that name. We can use that name. Now, I don't suggest you run up to them and point your finger right in their nose and say, in Jesus' name, I cast the devil out of you. No, you know. But we have the authority in that name. Hallelujah. One more time, let's lift our hands. Our prayer team comes on down. And Father, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holly, you got something? Why don't you go ahead and sing it, Holly, while they're coming down. Hallelujah. Glory.
It is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you want someone to agree with you in prayer in that name, that's another way that we're told. Two or three are gathered together in his name. They're in the midst. Then he said, if two of you shall agree on earth. Well, where? In that name. In his very presence. Ladies, come on down. The ladies, men, come on down to the men. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. We believe it. Hallelujah. I don't believe we had any first-time guests. If we did, if you'll take them, I don't believe we did. But be back here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Amen. We'll see you at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a great evening.